The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
I don't know if we had an opportunity to share, and I believe it was in the back, but Sister Corley wanted you all to know that she was certainly appreciative of all her support that we've given her, her family at her time of loss. We also want to celebrate the fact, I may mention, that you never know what happens from Sunday to Sunday, and a lot of different things have happened since the last time we were able to see each other. And since then, I want you all to know that Sister Janelle Harris actually had to have some surgery, and I know she's here. Come on, somebody, give God a hand clap of praise. She's here. Sister Jeanette Bell, I know, had to have some surgery, and I believe, I don't know if she's here today, but I believe she may be home convalescing. And Sister Loretta Keeling had to have some surgery. Amen. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise for that. Amen. Please forgive me if I miss any other announcements with regards to that. Continue to keep one another in prayer. Amen. Amen. One last thing I want to say is that during the time we were out, I try to do the best that I can to stay connected with you all through email. And so if you didn't get at least 3, 4, 5 emails from the church, 3 specifically from me, 1 midweek after the first Sunday that we were out, just so I can kind of get out, get some things out to you all and connect. I think I sent a special message out on MLK Day. And we also shared the pastor's pins from the past few weeks, and I know they're printed in the bulletin. But if you all didn't get an email, and it has nothing to do with membership, so anybody who's here under the sound of my voice, if you want to get just some correspondences from us from time to time, every now and then I'll have something, just I'll have an emotional type moment and put it on paper, and I'll get it to the church clerk to get out. If you wish to receive those distributions, please just let them know. Sister Bannister's here, Sister Nakia's here, either one of them. If you could just write your email address down, and so we'll have it, we'll add it to our distribution, and we'll make sure you get that. The other thing that's also important is for us to have your email is for information with regards to even when we had to cancel the church. We certainly used multiple outlets, the media. I know some of you put it out on social media. The church has its own Facebook page. But we also send me emails and phone calls. We know some of you don't have landlines, and that's fine, but just make sure we have a working number for you, that if we need to reach you. And so all of those things that sort of housekeeping items that have come up over this past few weeks. But I'm here to stand today as the Lord has allowed me to come and to conclude, if you will, the message that we started back on the first Sunday of the year. Amen. And it's from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43:19. Before you stand, let us just prepare. I thank God for our choir and our music ministry as they set the atmosphere for worship. And so really what that is just for you to prepare yourselves, to set up the atmosphere for God, but you need to prepare your own hearts to receive the word of God. Amen? Father God, we come right now in the name of Jesus to say thank you, dear God, for all that you've done and all that you're doing and all that you yet shall do in, with, and through our lives. Lord, we love you. But Lord, we know that you first loved us. As a matter of fact, you loved us so much that you gave your only begotten Son to die upon the cross for all of our sins, past, present, and future. We know that he was beaten unmercifully, and he was pierced in his side, and when he hung on the cross for our sins, Lord, and he died, they buried him in a borrowed tomb, and he lay there. But on the third day morning, he got up with all power in his hand. And Lord, we know that even as he is ascended and now is back at the right hand, at your right hand and on his rightful place, but the Holy Spirit is now with us and it indwells us. And for somebody here up under the sound of my voice who has yet to receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior, today is your day. Matter of fact, today is all you have. It's all any of us has. And so, Lord, we ask that you would prick all of our hearts, because if we ever needed you before, we surely need you now. Lord, as I stand as your vessel, be ever so pleased to stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my mouth. As a matter of fact, dear God, hide me. As a matter of fact, hide us all that you would be seen, and silence us all that you would be heard. And we'll be ever so careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. And it's in Jesus' name and for Christ's sake that we pray. Let every heart say amen. Amen. If you're physically able to stand, we're going to ask that you please do so. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. It's from whence the word of God will come. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 19. It's from whence the word of God will come. There are actually three different translations that I'm going to read. I'm going to start with a traditional translation from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, "Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." The New Living Translation says it like this: "For I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry waste land." Then there's a translation called The Voice, and it translates that verse this way. It says, "Watch closely. I am preparing something new. It's happening now, even as I speak, and you're about to see it. Preparing a way through the desert, waters will flow where there had been none." Today, on this fourth Sunday of the year, January the 27th, we want to consider the subject, encounter the possibilities. Encounter the possibilities. You may be seated. Amen. As you know, I began this series back on the first Sunday of the year, January the 5th, as an introduction of our theme this year, 365 Days of Possibilities. We came into the new year with such excitement. And I remember saying that this year could be phenomenal if we will dare to encounter the possibilities. Well, since then, we've had to cancel service for an unprecedented two Sundays in a row due to inclement weather. And it seems that now, only 27 days until the new year, the things in the world have just run amok. Mass shootings, made reference to that there was just another one on yesterday. There was another one that was earlier midweek. We have incurable diseases. There's poverty, starvation, crimes, dictatorship. And of course, just this past Friday, our country just ended the longest government shutdown in American history. Shutdown that affected an estimated 800,000 federal workers who had been furloughed or who had been deemed essential and were forced to report to work without pay. And for what? Huh? Families and livelihoods ripped apart by power struggles, selfishness, childishness, and narcissism. Amen. Amen. All of our thoughts and our prayers go out to all of the individuals and the families caught in the middle of that foolishness, those directly and indirectly affected. From the National Park Service to NASA, the Coast Guard to Border Patrol, the Internal Revenue Service to the Transportation Security Administration. And then that doesn't count the countless independent contractors. Read a story just this morning about a young woman I don't even know, lives in Washington, D.C., and she's still crying. She's an independent contractor at the Smithsonian, and she's not going to get her back pay. And she's trying to figure out what in the world is she going to do. She works in the security firm. And she's trying to figure out how she's going to make it. Federal agencies are now filled with workers with damaged credit ratings, missed mortgage payments, late fees, new debts, and now new doubts about their basic job security and their future. For even as the announcement was being made, ending, and I'll say it again, the longest government shutdown in U.S. history, there was a threat that a new shutdown could begin in just 3 weeks on February 15th if personal demands by the White House are not met. That threat means the clouds of uncertainty still remain in place for hundreds of thousands of government workers and unknown others whose lives were already interrupted or derailed by this recent shutdown. According to the most recent Labor Department figures, the number of federal employees filing for unemployment more than doubled in the second week of January to reach 25,000. That's up from 10,500 from the week before. But in comparison, last year's figures at this time last year was only 1,700. Yet, even with all that has happened in just 27 days of this brand new year, it hasn't even been a month yet, I must stand boldly before you today to remind you and to remind us all that even still, your enemy is not your neighbor. Your enemy is not that person that just makes you sick, gets on your nerves, and makes you miserable. Matter of fact, your enemy is not the IRS or the DMV or the DHS, that's the Department of Human Services, or the GOV, and that's the government. Wait a minute, watch this. It's not even a red baseball cap with four white letters stitched across the front with MAGA. Somebody help me to preach in this house. No, your real enemy and mine's is still spelled D-E-V-I-L. Come on, somebody. Tell somebody your enemy is the devil. Amen, amen, and amen. The truth is, my brothers and my sisters, we are always in a battle. But the truth is that our battle, our warfare, is spiritual. You best believe the devil knows that if he can get you to expend all of your energy on fighting and struggling, warring in the flesh, guess what? Then you are already defeated. There are always demons that are at work trying to draw you away from God, trying to destroy your families, trying to steal your health, your peace, and your joy, and ultimately trying to kill you. But I need to tell you something here. Spiritual battles can never be won on natural grounds. Spiritual battles can never be won on physical grounds with physical weapons. Spiritual battles must be fought with spiritual weapons. And one of the greatest spiritual weapons that we have afforded to us is the Word of God. And so naturally, spiritually, and even prophetically, we must hear God saying in our spirit, watch closely. I am preparing something new. It's, wait a minute, it's happening now. Even as I speak and you're about to see it. He says, I'm preparing a way through the desert. You know deserts are what? They're dry. There's no life in deserts. He said, waters are going to flow where there had been none. He says, so encounter the possibilities. So back on that first Sunday, I laid out an strong introduction to the message, Encounter the Possibilities. It's been 3 weeks ago now due to inclement weather and our closures. So I'm going to encourage you, my brothers and my sisters, to either pick up the CD if you haven't or go back and listen to it. Amen. Because I can't repeat all of that this morning. But one of the statements that I made is this, and you can, if you're taking notes, you can write this down. I said there's a big difference between God saying that he wants to do something and we actually experience what God says he wants to do. So in my introductory message, we began to talk about hindrances to our encountering the possibilities that God has in store for us. And I said that the number one hindrance was the lack of available and willing vessels. That's what we were dealing with these past 35 days. Not only was it childishness, there was cowardice. And we had a lack of available and willing vessels to step up and to step in. But even a few weeks back on that first Sunday, I went into depth building that point. I made a number of scriptural references because, again, see, too many of us, we actually talk in dialogue from CNN and Fox and MSNBC. We better get in the Word of God. We better get in the Word of God. And so when I was making my point, I made scriptural references. Amen. And so I want to introduce the final points of the other two hindrances that I wasn't able to get to then of our that may cause us not to encounter the possibilities or the new beginning. Because I don't know about you, but I still believe. Yeah, I can just stop right there. I still believe. I do. I still believe, Keeling, that God wants for us an awesome and phenomenal year if we will still believe in him. Amen. I still believe that God, whatever God wants for us, whatever he wants, I'm ready for God to deliver in this year. So my prayer is that whatever will keep you or whatever is keeping you now from experiencing the new beginning or encountering the possibilities that he has in store for you, that he will remove it from your life right now in Jesus' name. So I said that first hindrance was a lack of available and willing vessels. And the other two are simply this: wrong associations and ingratitude. Just chew on that for a minute. We're talking about hindrances or barriers to receiving your breakthrough. Things that will cause you to miss the blessings that God has for you. I said the first one was lack of available and willing vessels. But then another one we're going to talk about here is wrong associations. And then third one is ingratitude. Listen, if that don't speak with you, at least speaks with your neighbor. Come on, somebody. Amen. Let's talk about wrong associations. Let me just jump on that one right now. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Exodus chapter 12, and it's not going to be up. You're going to have to write these down. Exodus 12, 33 through 37. It tells us that when the Israelites left Egypt, the Bible says that they left with a mixed multitude. Can I preach in this house? The Bible says that they left with a mixed multitude. And this mixed multitude had a negative effect on the Israelites. Matter of fact, if you want to turn to where, turn with me here. Turn to Numbers chapter 11. Turn to Numbers chapter 11, 4 through 6. Because in that passage, so you marked Exodus 12, 37 and 38, that'll show you the mixed multitude. But I want to show you the effects. It's here in Numbers 11, 4 through 6. And you're going to see the negative influence this mixed multitude had on the Israelites. When you get to that text, you're going to see that, first of all, they distracted their focus and their attention from the promised land. In other words, they took their minds back to Egypt. What does it mean to take their minds back to Egypt? It means they were taking their minds back to captivity, back to slavery. You best believe that this society right now is trying to get us distracted and take our minds back to captivity. Amen. Amen. Not only did the mixed crowd, listen, not only that, but the Bible says they started complaining. And they started grumbling. And that was something that greatly displeased God. So do me a favor, in that same passage, drop down to verses 33 through 34. Because you're going to see right in there, you'll see the judgment of God that came on the Israelites who started craving other foods besides what God had provided for them. So I hear somebody saying, well, okay, Pastor King, I see the reference. What is it that you're trying to say? What is the point you're trying to drive here? Here it is. Listen. God may want you, or he may want to give you a new beginning. And here it is. You may even be able to step through point number one. In other words, you may say, you know what? I am willing and I am available. I got it, because that's the first potential hindrance. Ah, but here it is. But potentially because of the people that you are closely relating with, the people that you are allowing to walk closely with you as you journey into your promised land, it can actually cause you to miss your encounter with some possibilities, because not everybody is ready and willing to go where God wants to take you. Now, please don't misunderstand. I didn't say that they were bad people. I didn't say they were bad people. Please, and please don't feel like I'm talking badly about anyone. But here's the point. If you're taking notes, write this down. But it's possible that they are simply distracting your focus and your attention from whatever it is that God wants you to do, or whatever it is he wants you to be working towards. To my young people, if whatever or whoever it is distracting you from your schoolwork, if it's distracting you from excelling in the classroom, earning the best grades that you can, obtaining scholarships for college, maybe even distracting or discouraging you from wanting to even go to college and earn a degree. And then, of course, one of the biggest distractions that all of us have are those cell phones and that multiple platforms of social media. That's for right now, probably texting in the sermon. Amen. Amen. Here's the problem. That's the distraction. And that's a work of the devil. Each and every one of us in here, from the youngest to the eldest, the devil will do any and everything he can. He'll use whatever, or watch this, whoever he can, to distract our focus and our attention from the promises of God. Why? Because he's trying to take you back to a mindset, trying to take you back to behaviors. He's trying to take you back to lifestyles and livelihoods. There are actually some folk who want to go back to doing and being the way they used to be before they got saved, because they felt like they had a better time. That's a trick of the devil. If he can't mess with your mind, he'll then start dabbling with your mindset. God Almighty. Stuff that you know is not right. You may say, well, I mean, it's not hurting anybody. If you can't mess with your mind, he'll start dabbling with your mindset. And then what happens is, if that doesn't work, guess what we start doing? Sometimes, whether it's just even as a protest movement, he'll get us to start complaining. Get us to start grumbling about everything that either seems to be happening in our lives or everything that's not happening that we think should be happening in our lives. And we all need to know that grumbling and complaining, that all of us do, that is displeasing to God. Because it's not just young folk. I'm a parent. Listen, I got young people. I mean, they get brand new stuff. And after a while, they want more brand new stuff. Because what you just gave them is not brand new anymore. And it's not just because it's just brand new age. It's all of a sudden, it's out of style. What in the world? And that's grumbling. And does that just get up under your skin? So can you imagine mama, daddy, grandma, granddad, if that kind of complaining gets up under your skin, what do you think about God? Come on now. My prayer is that I'm talking to somebody. And my prayer is that everyone, any and everyone who will not allow you to get where God wants you to be, anything and everything that's distracting or stealing your attention for what God has destined for you, I don't mean no harm, but I gotta say it like this. My prayer is that God will either cut it off from you or cut you off from them. Amen. From such things and such people, so you can truly encounter the possibilities. Or in 2019, the new beginning that God wants for you. Last point I want to make is ingratitude. I got to drive that point home. I'm going to give you a number of references here. I'm going to say them slow so you can write them down. In Numbers 11, 1 through 4, the entire chapter of Numbers chapter 12, y'all going to have to do some Bible reading. Numbers chapter 14, 1 through 4, 11 through 12, 20 through 23, and then the entire chapter of Numbers 16. We've been off for 3 weeks, 2 weeks. I mean, I ain't nothing but time on my hands. No, that's not completely true. In those scriptures, you're going to see grumbling and complaining, which is that third thing that hindered the Israelites from entering their promised land and experiencing that new beginning that God wanted to give them. I need to tell you something, because we all do it from the pulpit to the door, but God takes grumbling and complaining very seriously. That should just hit you, because it's hit me. He takes grumbling and complaining very seriously. Question is, well, what do you mean, Pastor King? Well, I mean, why did the grumbling and the complaining of the Israelites displease God and make him so angry? Well, because what happens with grumbling and complaining is it begins to show a lack of faith. And it's a lack of trust and confidence in God. I mean, think about it. I'm just talking about the Israelites, but think about our life. Despite everything that God had done to show them how much he loved them, it was like they were saying, that's not enough, and we still don't trust you. It was as if they were showing or expressing a lack of confidence in God's decisions. Have you been there? And the decisions that he had taken or the things that he had done on their behalf, they just stopped believing in him. It actually showed their ingratitude. Wait a minute. Listen to this. Listen. Y'all Bible readers, so you remember? In Egypt, they had to work extremely hard. Am I talking to any Bible readers? In Egypt,
they had to work extremely hard to have food to eat. Now, without doing any form of labor, God was providing manna falling, just manna falling from heaven. He gave them food they didn't have to pay for, work for, beg for, or stand in line for. Come on, somebody. But they didn't appreciate it, and so God was angry at their ungratefulness. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 10, write that down and go read it. 1 Corinthians 10, 10 is a warning to us who want to experience a new beginning that we should avoid grumbling and complaining. Because if you're taking notes, write this down. Complaining doesn't change anything, and it really doesn't make things better. Unfortunately, it gets in your spirit and makes you even more bitter. It didn't make things better for the Israelites. As a matter of fact, it made things worse. They saw one judgment of God after another because of their complaints. But Deacon Griffith, they didn't learn. They grumbled and complained about manna. And so the Bible says that God gave them and sent them fire to consume them. And it seemed like they still didn't learn. The point I'm trying to make is this to all of us, my brothers and sisters, in 2019, is that the Israelites weren't wise and they didn't learn from their mistakes. But we don't have to be like them. Amen. We don't have to be like them. To my young people, I know you all are going to hear your mothers and your fathers and your grandmothers tell you all things not to do. And every now and then you want to challenge us and ask us if we did them. That's not the point. We didn't make the best decisions ourselves. We're only here by the grace of God. Amen. But not everybody makes it back from bad decisions. We're trying to keep you all from making those bad decisions or those harsh decisions that could get you in a point of consequences that not even you thought that you were going to have to run into and you thought you were going to be able to get out of. No. The Israelites didn't learn from their mistakes, but we don't have to, even us as grown folk. We don't have to keep making those same mistakes. In fact, I believe that their errors were written in the book in the Bible, in the Holy Writ for you and I. Amen. So we don't end up falling or failing the way that they did, and we miss the promises of God. We miss the blessings of God. Don't get me wrong, I thank God for grace and mercy. In other words, God continues to bless us in spite of us. I'm careful to go to God about anything I think I deserve. Because if I got what I deserve, I wouldn't be here talking to y'all. I wouldn't. I'm not here because I've dotted every I and crossed every T. I'm here just like you, by the grace and mercy of God. Amen. But I want you to do something. I want you to ask yourself this question, and you can write it down. Ask yourself this question. Since I've been complaining about my country, the government, the president, maybe my church, my school, if that applies to you, my job, my family, my spouse, my boss, sometimes that's one and the same. Come on, somebody. Complaining about you. Some of y'all missed that. Complaining about your health. Complaining about my finances, just my situation and my circumstances. Ask yourself, has it changed anything? And if it hasn't, then why are you still doing it? We haven't learned from our mistakes. If we grumble and complain from now until tomorrow, nothing's gonna change. But if, on the other hand, Brother John, we spend quality time thanking God for all that he's already done, for everything he did that he didn't have to do. Come on, somebody. Past and present. I believe that things can change. Some of you are here today because of a gracious and merciful God. Gotten you through some stuff that you didn't think you were going to get out of. We've all made some bad choices, some bad decisions, done some bad things. And it could have kept us in a bad way. And some of us are still trying to come out of it right now. And just like the federal workers, some of them are in a bad situation, and it's not their fault, but it's still their problem. But guess what? We got to make it through this thing together. And we got to make it through this thing trying to understand who the real enemy is. And if we continue to be distracted and distraught about the wrong things, we're never going to get out of this. And we're never going to make it. And nothing positive is going to come out of this. You leave whatever it is you think that's going to change because you fussing and cussing at the TV. Put it in God's hands. Put it in God's hands. Because Psalm 50:23 makes us understand that when you are thankful, you honor God. And guess what? You read in that verse that when you honor God, he will visit you. So I want to stand here to say this. May the Lord visit you from this day forward in a very powerful way. As you say, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done. Go ahead, brother. All that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you yet shall do in, with, and through my life. And whether you make resolutions or not, we need to start right now to do away with grumbling and complaining. I'm not saying we're going to be perfect with it. But we got to make sure that purposefully, we are worshiping and we are honoring God with our minds, our mindsets, our behaviors, and our attitudes. As I close, encountering the possibilities, as a matter of fact, 365 days of possibilities. Listen. It's not simply asking God to bless what you've decided to do. It's going to God with an open mind and heart, inviting him to plant his desires inside of you. He may, hear me, young people, he may infuse within you a dream that seems far beyond your reach. Lord, I want to get my degree. I got so many responsibilities, Terry. Financially, how am I going to make it? But you honor God. Next thing you know, you'll get a notice that a $5,000 scholarship is coming your way so you can keep on, not just towards your degree, but so you can keep on honoring God. He may put something in you that you feel like you can't achieve, but you feel like you can't achieve it within yourself. Amen. But it's at that point, because I don't want you to miss that moment. But it's at that point when you say, Lord, I'm not sure I can do what you're asking me to do. Even if it's loving some folk that don't seem to be so lovable. Even if it's forgiving some folk that you say, wait a minute, watch this, don't deserve your forgiveness. Even if it's somebody that you need to say I'm sorry to, and you say they don't deserve, and I'm sorry for me because they hurt me. It's at that point that you actually start your journey and down your path of your true reliance on God. This is a faith walk. It's a faith walk. It's taking one step at a time. And you take one step at a time and you keep leaning on God as much as possible. He's strong. He can handle it. You lean on God as much as you need to. It doesn't mean that you won't ever fall, fail, stumble, or make mistakes. As a matter of fact, it's through the problems, it's through the failures, through our weaknesses, it's through our neediness that we actually learn to trust and to rely on God. For with each failure is followed by a growth spurt, and it's nourished by our reliance on the Almighty God. So listen, enjoy encountering the possibilities of 2019. I know that some folk have made threats. I know some folk have put deadlines. But all God's promises are yes and amen. Come on, somebody, give God a hand clap of praise. You just deepen your dependence on God. And you deepen your dependence on God, and I'm going to reverse the other three, by being an available and willing vessel, by avoiding wrong associations, and by avoiding some ingratitude and some selfishness. For I'm about to do something new. See, I've already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. Watch closely. I am. That just speaks right there. I am. That's enough. I am preparing something new. It's happening now, even as I speak, and you're about to see it. I am preparing a way through the desert. Waters will flow where there had been none. So encounter the possibilities. The door of the church have opened.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.